This morning, as we continue with our series, The Authority of the Believer, I just want to recap on the last couple of weeks. We've been looking at resisting steadfast in the faith, according to 1 Peter, and we began looking at how to resist. How do you do that? How do you resist and overcome in faith? Because if he tells us where to resist steadfast in the faith, then we need to understand how do you do that. Well, one, we discovered that we've got to be believer to start with, the authority of the believer. So we must believe something. Those that are born again, those that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, they are in a position to overcome. And then we had a look at developing a strong spirit. We got partway through that last week, and I want to touch on that again this morning. Developing a strong spirit, because we need to have a strong spirit if we're going to resist something. That just stands to reason. In the natural, you'd need strength to resist something. In the spiritual, we need strength to resist something. But I want to preface this morning with this, and it's important we understand this. Being strong in the Lord is not about how good and how perfect we are. I want to make this really clear. It's not about that. Our strength in the Lord has nothing to do with our natural abilities. It doesn't have anything to do with our perfection, our goodness. It's not about that. Not about our ability or our feelings or whether we're worthy or whether we're deserving. None of that is what this is talking about. This is spiritual. So our being strong in the Lord is directly linked to having faith in what God has said in His Word. That's where strength in the Lord comes from. Now you'll know if you've got strength in the Lord for situations because you'll take the Word and you'll declare it by faith and you'll run with it. When you don't have that strength in the Lord, you may allow worry and fear and doubt and oppression to enter in. That's because there's a weakness in the spirit. Now, I don't say that as a criticism. It's something that we need to be alert to. If our spiritual tank is showing empty, we need to fill it. Now, what we've discovered studying the Word is God doesn't fill your tank. God doesn't fill the tank. He's given us the Word and we fill the tank with the Word of God. Now, I want to show you an example of this morning in Luke chapter 22. Have a look at Luke 22. This importance about not getting too caught up with, well, I'm failing, I'm missing it, I'm not strong enough, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. I want to really make this point clear. That's not what being strong in the Lord is. All of us are on a journey, all of us, pastor included. We're all on a journey. We all miss it at times. We make mistakes. We have failings. We don't always obey the word of the Lord. But thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for His mercy and grace. We all miss it at times. But our strength is not about our ability to do something. It's about our willingness to be receptive to what God can do through us. So, look at verse 31 of Luke 22, if you're there. Now, this is this Last Supper meal. And Jesus says these words, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Satan has desired to have you. That word desire means to demand or to ask or to beg. He's designed to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Wow. To be sifted as wheat. None of us want to be sifted as wheat. You know, but this is the enemy at work here. He wants to sift it. And that word sift, it's interesting. It's an inward agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. So think about that. This inward agitation to try your faith to the verge of overflow. That is his master game plan. He strikes and he strikes and he strikes and he strikes and he strikes until he penetrates, if you let him. But we can stand against every strike of the devil. Amen? Amen. Every strike he comes against us, we can stand strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. So look what he says here. So Satan wants to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fails not. He didn't pray about his physical capabilities. He didn't pray about his leadership potential. He prayed, I'm praying that your faith fails not, because that's where the victory is, people. The stand is going to be a faith stand or it's a fail. It's a faith stand on the word or it's a fail. You can't stand outside the word. And if we don't know the word, then we don't know what the promises of God are to stand on. There always has to be something in the word that we're standing on when we're believing God for something. What word are you standing on for your current situation right now that's troubling you? What word are you standing on? Or are you just hoping God's going to just move miraculously one day and it's all going to be good? That's not how the kingdom works. So he says, I'm praying that your faith fails not. And when you're converted, that means to return or to repent or to turn. He says, when you're converted, strengthen your brothers. Now, you know why Jesus said when? Because he says, I'm praying that your faith fail not. Do you think that his faith was going to succeed when Jesus prayed that prayer? Of course it was. Jesus prayed, I pray your faith fails not. And when you're converted, Jesus had faith in his prayers to the Father. Now, it's interesting. Think about what he said in, you don't need to turn there, in John 17:15. He says, I don't pray that you should take them out of the world. Jesus didn't pray that. Sometimes we wish he had of, but that's not what he prayed. He says, I don't pray that you should take them out of the world. He says, I pray that you should keep them from the evil. That word keep means to guard or preserve. So think about those two scriptures. He says, I'm praying that your faith fails not. I'm not praying for your outward capabilities. I'm not praying that you're going to walk perfect before me. Now, we have the book to find out what happened post that event. And what do we discover? That on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a mighty message, didn't he? A mighty message, 3,000 souls in one day. This is the one who denied Jesus three times, because if you're still in that verse, have a look at it. Verse 33. And he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death. Look at Peter's response. I'm ready. I'm ready. My flesh is ready to do whatever you want. Fail. Fail. I'm ready. I'm good. A bit like the Israelites. Whatever you say, Lord, we can do it. Absolutely. Whatever you say, we'll do it. The next chapter in Exodus 20, he introduces the law. Because they couldn't do it. Nor can we. Apart from the strength of the Lord. So he says, I can. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go to prison for you. Look at Jesus' response. I tell you, Peter, this cock shall not crow this day before you have three times denied that you knew me. Three times there's going to be denial of me, Peter. Now, that would have been pretty hard for Peter. Now, had he been humble of heart at that point, he would have said, Lord, Lord, show me, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Sadly, there was had to be resistance here because he wasn't ready to receive the grace. But understand this, he prayed that his faith wouldn't fail, not that he would have outward strength. So that leads us into this morning. We need to feed and exercise our faith. That's what we're going to do this morning. Right now, we're going to have a look at a number of scriptures about strength in him, because we want those scriptures to strengthen us. We want those truths to be our truth. We don't want to have any doubt. We want to be certain. Because can I say this? This journey we're on, it's not achievable in the natural. Nothing God's called the church to do can be achieved in the natural. You go out there and cast out devils in your flesh. Good luck. It'll be like the seven sons of Sceva. you'll lose. Try and lay hands on sick people and pray for a miracle when you don't even believe Jesus heals yourself. Don't go grabbing serpents, deadly things, unless you've got faith in God. And if you drink something accidentally, you need faith in God that when that thing passes through your system, it's not going to harm you. Now, I didn't say that. Mark 16 said that. These are things that are not achievable in our natural ability. And this is the point about Christianity. Nothing we can do in the natural is going to get us over the line. So that helps us deal with our prideful nature because we can't do it. None of us can. I can't do it. You can't do it. God knew that. So he gives us his mercy and his grace and his precious word and the Holy Spirit, the name of the Lord, and everything at our disposals to walk in victory. And the shed blood has washed us clean, as we heard this morning in communion. We have authority. But do we have a strong spirit to exercise the authority? So with that, let's feed and exercise our spirit this morning. Go with me to Psalm 18. We're going to move through these scriptures very quickly. We're going to do some gym this morning. Is that all right? A little bit of gym work. Spiritual gym work. We're going to do our weights. We're going to do our resistance training. And what we're doing is really simple. We're getting the word. We're putting it before our eyes. And we're going to make that truth our truth. Is that right? Because if you don't want to do that this morning, then this next 45 or so minutes is a waste of time. But if you're willing to exercise your spirit so your spirit is strengthened, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then now you're in a position to resist steadfast in the faith. Peter, I pray your faith won't fail. That's what he's praying for us, not just Peter, that our faith will stand. How does faith come? Then we take the word, we meditate on it, we get that word in our heart and we declare it out of our mouth by faith. Now we're standing. And when we've done all to stand, we stand. We stand. Every strike that he strikes against us, we can resist. Amen? Amen? If we couldn't, then we couldn't overcome. If we couldn't, but who overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith is what gets us over the line. All right, Psalm 18, verse 1 with me, 1 and 3 first. It says this, and if I've got a King James Bible here, and it prefaces Psalm 18 with this. To the chief musicians, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke unto the Lord the word of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, so David is speaking out of experience. Look what he says. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. That word strength the second time means rock. In whom I will trust. So I'm trusting in my rock who strengthens me. We don't put trust in our flesh. We don't put trust in man. Putting trust in man, the Bible says, is a snare. And that word snare gives a sense of a ring in a bull's nose. The big ring, and you just pull that big animal along. That's what trusting in man does. We're not to trust in man. We're to love man. Big difference. We're not to trust man. We trust in God. And God will give us discernment about people. But we're to love people, but we trust God. We keep reading. He's my buckler. That means my shield. He's my protector. The horn of my salvation. That word horn means power, strength, or might. He's the power, strength, and might of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. This man had no doubt that God was his deliverer. David had no doubt that God was his rear guard, that God was his strength, God was his buckler. He didn't doubt that for a minute. And I have no doubt that David declared this often. Are we? Are we getting up in the morning and saying, thank you, Lord, that you are my strength and you are my shield, you are my rear guard this morning. What harm can come to me? None. Do we say that? Do we declare it? Because when we do, we're strengthening our spirit with the word. We need a strong spirit, people. Coming to church on Sunday might give you some goosebumps occasionally, but it may not strengthen your spirit if you don't take that word and make it your truth. This is by faith that we strengthen our spirit. So, and look at verse 32 of the same chapter. It is God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. That word gird means to bind about like a belt or to equip. Now, next week, hopefully, if it's the Lord's will, we're going to talk about the armor of God. And one of them is the belt of truth. I mean, you know, he girds us with strength. David, my God girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. That means without blemish and complete. I said this often in church, and I'll say it again. We are a church now without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Jesus is coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish because it's already been cleansed. Our imperfections don't change what he did at Calvary. And if it's not cleansed now, what does Jesus need to do to make it without spot, wrinkle, or blemish? He's not going back on a Calvary cross. There's no more sacrifice. None. The sacrifice has been paid. Everything that's available to us must be taken by faith. And that's where we are strong in the spirit when we exercise our faith. Look at Psalm 27, verse 1. We're just going to move through the Psalms and then a few verses in the New Testament. Psalm 27. The Lord, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Question mark. Is there anyone on this planet that we should fear? No. What can man do to us? The Bible says that. If God be for me, who can be against me? What can man do to me? Can he take my salvation from me? No. He can't take my salvation. The devil can't take that from me. I'm going to heaven, whether the devil likes it or not, or whether unbelieving lefties in this earth like it or not. I couldn't care. I'm going to heaven because God decreed it in his word. And my faith is in his word. My faith is in this book. We are going to heaven because he said it. Those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let's read it again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That word strength means a fortified place. It's our defense. The Lord is the strength of my life. How do you develop a strong spirit? Commune with your Lord. Spend time with him. Spend time in his word. Talk to him. Let him speak back to you. It's not just a one-way communication. It's a two-way communication. The Spirit of God loves to talk with his children. That's when you get some of your greatest revelations, when you have time with him. You know, as I said, David's speaking out of experience. This is experiential for him. And understand something about God being light. 1 John 1:5. You don't need to turn there. It says, God is light and in him is no darkness. There's no darkness in God. There's no sickness in God. There's no disease in God. There's no poverty in God. There's no lack in God. And God's not giving it to man. It's a curse. And we've been redeemed from the curse. If God's putting that curse on his children, then he's schizophrenic. But he's not. He's a God that knows what he's doing. But one, you don't need to listen to the voice of the world. You need to listen to the word of God and what the word of God says. Because if you let people get into your, you know, thinking and weaken your spirit, you're not going to be able to stand when that roaming devil looks around seeking whom he may devour. Remember what Jesus said? Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Of course he desires, because he's roaming around seeking whom he can have a crack at. And he's always looking for the weak one. The weak one. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Verse 2. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they tremble and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He had trust in his God. And that's why David was able to stand against all his enemies in his day. A man after God's own heart. David trusted God. How wonderful it is. Now have a look at verse 11 of chapter 29, just over the page there. You should be right there. Verse 11 of Psalm 29. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, it didn't say the Lord might. It said the Lord will. The Lord will give strength to whose people? His people. He's not strengthening the wicked. He's strengthening the children of God, us, the believer. He's strengthening us. How does he do that? Because we meditate on his word, his truth. You know, if you study David and the Psalms out in detail, he loved the word. He loved it. He loved to meditate on the word. He hid the word in his heart that he wouldn't sin. And he says, you know, the entrance of your word gives light. Your word is a lamp to our feet and it's a light to our path. This word is going to illuminate the darkness in us. The word will do that. The word brings salvation. It illuminates people to the reality that they're sinners in need of a Savior. But the word will illuminate us to anything that we need a light on. That's what the word will do. So we're very thankful to God for that. In fact, just go back to the previous Psalm 28 and verse 7. Psalm 28 verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I'm helped. Did you hear that? My heart trusts in him and I'm helped. Well, when your heart's trusting in God, you're going to receive help. But if you're fearing and trembling, you know, and you've got worry and doubt and anxiety, it's hard to exercise faith. That's what the enemy wants. He wants us to walk in fear and doubt. He wants us to rehearse our old past. God's not rehearsing it. Your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. God's wiped them. But the enemy wants to bring them back because these weaken us. Because we're now looking at our imperfections, our inability, our lack of strength, our lack of obedience. And we're using that as a basis. Well, I'm not very strong in God. Yes, you are. Because Yeshua has delivered us. I like that. First time I said that. Yes, you are, because of Yeshua. Joshua, Jesus, hallelujah. He's God and he's delivered us and he's set us free and he wants us to believe it. You know what? All of us could list our bad. All of us could do it. God doesn't want us to, though. He wants us to go forward. If you made mistakes last night that you're not happy with, then go before God and say, God, I missed it. That's not when God found out. That's when you release it to God and you move on. But stay with him in this. Stay trusting him, because you need your faith strong to resist, steadfast. If there wasn't a need to resist, that wouldn't be in Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5 wouldn't be there. There'd be no need. But there is a need, because we're in this world, as was mentioned this morning, but we're not of it. There's still an enemy of God in this earth. And we have to resist that while we're in this earth. Hallelujah. Go with me to Psalm 46. So we're feeding this morning and we're exercising. We're building our faith in this particular area of developing a strong spirit. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Does that give the suggestion that God is with us? Is he with us some of the time? All the time. Well, God's always with us. I will walk in them. I will talk with them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave us, ever. He's with us. He's a very present help in time of trouble. The moment you call upon the Lord, he's there. He's responding. He's always there for us. Say it again. God is our refuge. That word refuge is our shelter, our hope, or our trust. He's our refuge. So when dark clouds are looming, we get into that place of trust. We double down in the word. When we see an assault on the enemy, we get into that place because he wants to weaken us. That's why often, I'm sure everyone here could give testimony of attack followed by attack followed by attack followed by attack. It's common to believers. But the Bible says that he will not let us be tempted above that which we are able. 1 Corinthians 10. But he will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that we can bear it. That means we can stand. So we'll never be tempted beyond natural temptation. He can't tempt us beyond what is natural to man. But God makes a way that with the temptation, he makes a way of escape that we can bear it. He never said, I'll remove the temptation. He never said that. You know, what's that prayer says? Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, temptations come. Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. No sin with Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's keep moving for the sake of time. Go to Psalm 71. 71. Hallelujah. Psalm 71 and verse 16. This is a lovely psalm. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, even of yours only. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Question, are we going in the strength of the Lord? Are we doing it his way or are we doing it in our strength? Because if we're doing it in our strength, we can't succeed. It's unsustainable. God never wanted us to walk this journey of faith in our natural strength. It's impossible. Peter, I pray that your faith will not fail. Not that your natural ability will not fail, that your faith will not fail. And that's the same with us. So David, you know, the psalmist here declares, I will go on the strength of the Lord God. I'm going to go on your strength. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours only. He's the only one. There's no one else that's righteous. No one else but God. And he's given us his righteousness. Didn't deserve it. He gave it to us because it's a beautiful gift of grace and love and mercy. He makes us righteous because we put our trust in him. You know, there's a generation of young people today that couldn't care less about God. But what they don't realize is the enemy has hooked them and reels them in. They don't know because they're blinded to truth. They're just living their godless life thinking it's all going to go well, but it doesn't for many of them. Many of them don't see their later years because the enemy takes them out. We've got to teach them. The only way we can walk the full days on this earth is to be in him, connected to him, strengthened by him, trusting him, letting him be our refuge and our fortress. Him and him alone. I will go on the strength of the Lord God. That's a powerful confession, isn't it? I'm going to go on the strength of the Lord God this morning. Yes, I've got some battles. There's some things pressing against me, but I'm going in the strength of the Lord this morning. Come hell or high water. Who cares? I'm going in the strength of the Lord. Because remember, those that build their house on a rock are those that hear and obey. And when that high water comes and hell knocks on your door, laugh at it. Laugh at it. You know, sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes there's more preaching out in the world about why God won't than why God has. Why God won't do this or why God won't do that. You know, sickness and disease is the foul offspring of Satan, who's the father, and sin, that's the mother. That's what sickness and disease is. The foul offspring of daddy Satan and mama sin. Why would God use that in his children? Rubbish. You know how many Christians believe that trash? Because they don't read the word. They listen to the voice of the world and they let the enemy get in there and twist truth. Don't go there. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variables, neither shadow of turning. There's no darkness in him. God is perfect light. He's pure love. Satan is pure hate and pure evil and pure darkness. There's no light in him. But we are strengthened by the one that's filled with light. That's got to give us a lot of comfort. Psalm 91. Very quickly, the first two verses, as you're turning there, and the psalmist penned these words, and this is a psalm I read often. It's a great psalm of protection. But I love verse 1 and 2, and it says this: He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, that's that place of refuge, isn't it? Let's have a look. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He's my fortress or defense, He's my God, and in Him will I trust. Well, we can declare that. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This morning, I'm going to say of the Lord, You're my refuge and my fortress, my God. I'm trusting You today. Your faith is strong. Your spirit is strong. Why? Because you're declaring the promises of God, which is what David did. That's what strengthens our spirit. We want to be strong in spirit, so we've got to exercise it. And that's what we're doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a look at Psalm 119. Just go a few more pages forward. 28. Psalm 119, 28. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul melts for heaviness. It drops. It gives that sense of there's this oppression, depression, sadness. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to Your what? Word. Strengthen me according to Your word. That's what strengthens the spirit of a man. When we let that word in, it strengthens us. Strengthen me according to Your word. Wow. You think about that. Think about the Israelites. Their spirit dropped too when they got an evil report from 10 spies of the 12 that went into the land, and they came back and, you know, God told them to go. We've talked about this many times, but it bears repeating again. God said, go and take the land. I've given it to you. Well, if God says, go take the land, I've given it to you, go take the land. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That means that we are able to do it, amen? That means that if we resist the enemy, we can do exactly what He's told us to do. Because if we couldn't do it, then that was a lie from God. And that was unfair. Well, it's not a lie. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and do the things I've told you to do, because I've empowered you with authority from on high. So those Israelites, when they listened to the evil report of the 10 spies, they didn't listen to the faith report of Joshua and Caleb. They rather listened to the others. And of course, their hearts melted. Their hearts melted. Their hearts dropped. oppressed, depressed. They all went into their camps and they mourned all night. Let us go back to Egypt. Come on, you know. Let's think about the garlics and the leeks and the onions and the cucumbers. Let's go back into bondage because bondage is better. No, it's not. No, it's not. Bondage will never be better. There's nothing out in that world that you want to go back to now you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And if you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're still in bondage, which means you're in darkness, which means when you wake up in the morning, all you hear is the enemy's voice. And when you go to bed at night, all you hear is the lies of the devil. Until the Spirit of God comes alive on the inside of you, you'll never hear his voice. You've got to say yes to Jesus because you don't know what tomorrow has for you. Oh, well, you know, one day I'll get right with God. You may not have one day. Today's the day of salvation, always now. Faith is always now. We've got to do this. Now you think about that. 2 million people, most likely, their hearts melted, 40 years in the wilderness, and they died young. Two people went in. Caleb and Joshua are what you call one in a million. One in a million. 2 million missed out, two went in. One in a million. You think, oh, well, you know, God treats everyone the same. No, God's a respecter of faith. He has no favorites when it comes to people, but he does respect faith. And if you haven't got faith, he can't extend the grace and the blessing to you. And we've talked about that often, and that's not the message this morning. But we've got to open ourselves up to receive. That's why, you know, it says here again, my soul melts for heaviness, strengthen me according to your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah 40. Go with me to Isaiah 40. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 40. What are we doing this morning? We're feeding and exercising our spirit. We can do this anytime, day or night. Anytime we're willing to open this book up and we meditate on scriptural truths that particularly meet our need or situation, we're building our spirit. If you've got sickness in your body, once you've gone to the doctor to find out what it is, go to the Word. Go to the Word. Once you know what you're dealing with, double down in the Word. Do what you need to do naturally, but I tell you what, the thing which will cause you to rise up and walk in victory is the living Word of God. Because it comes out of your strong spirit, not your melted, weak spirit, and it will affect your flesh. That's how the kingdom works. That's how God intended it. That's why no flesh will ever glory in his presence. No flesh can glory in the presence of God. Flesh is weak to God. Spirit's willing, flesh isn't always. So look at this, verse 28. This is a great scripture. Hallelujah. Have you not known of Isaiah 40, verse 28? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases what? Strength. He increases strength. When we're weak, we're strong. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know what he's talking about there? Young men and youth that haven't got any relationship with God, they won't stand. You can't stand without him. Well, you know, I don't need God. I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. You're a nothing without him. None of us are anything without God. In him we live and breathe and exist. We're a self-made nothing. We're self-made going to hell. That's about the best we can do in our own effort. But with God, all things are possible. The day of just playing church, it's long gone, people. Long gone. I know what God's putting on me these days is a different. If you listen to my messages even 5 years ago, I don't preach the way I did 5 years ago. We are entering in to a new season that the church has to be ready for. I don't know exactly what that looks like in the natural, but I've got a clear understanding in the spiritual what we're confronting. Demonic forces like we've never encountered before. But so what? The devil hasn't changed. In the garden, if you be the Son of God, when he spoke to Jesus, and in the garden, you know, did God really say? That's the first thing ever recorded in Scripture regarding the devil speaking to a human being. Did God really say? Well, of course that's what he would say. This word's not really true, just because God said it. Did God really say? That's what he does. And he questioned Eve and he questioned Jesus. If you be the Son of God, as if Jesus didn't know who he was, he hasn't changed. He's saying the same things today. Well, you know, if you were a better person, if you spent more time in church on Sunday, if you hadn't have said those nasty things to that person down the road, maybe you could stand. None of that's got to do with any ability to stand in God. None of that. Your ability to stand in God is because you put trust in him. You put trust in him whether you feel good or not, whether you deserve it or not, whether you're worthy of it or not. None of that's got to do with God. If we weren't worthy, we wouldn't be saved. While we were sinners, his son went to the cross. Well, he's not going to treat us worse now because we're his children. God forbid. The rubbish that gets preached in the world that has no biblical foundation at all. We're not to believe that trash. Believe what God says. Keep reading with me. Verse 30 again. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But let's wait for the next verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their what? Strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's who we are, those that wait upon the Lord. And that word wait is to expect, to look eagerly to, or to connect. Those that are expectant. Have you got an expectant heart this morning? Is your heart open to what God's saying? Have you put your faith antenna up to receive? Because if you didn't, you walk out the same way you came in. We've got to receive by faith. We've got to rightly divide the word of God by faith. I've got to preach the word by faith. But I can preach the word and you can walk out being deaf to the truth. God wants us to get this because he's got so much for this church to do, so much he wants this church to do going forward. I know we're just still positioning ourselves. You know, there's still some foundation being laid, but I notice, you know, we've come past ground level now. We're sort of starting to get some structure. We're building because God's good and he's merciful and he's gracious and he's going to continue to do what only he can do. Thank God for what he does to his people and for his people. God is good. So I want to say it again. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That means it'll change them. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, not because of their ability, but because of the one that strengthens them, the Lord. Amen. Same with us. And God is good. And look at verse 10 of the next chapter, right on the same page. Fear not, for I am with you. This is God's assurance to Israel. If you study this out in context, don't fear, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Well, who's the right hand of his righteousness? Jesus. He's the right hand of his righteousness, and we've been given his righteousness. We have absolute authority in this earth, absolute. There's not a devil in hell that can scheme against an alert believer that knows their authority in the word. Nothing. The devil can't come against God's people who put their faith in this book. Ever. Ever. God's got a plan. He wants us to finish our course. Because really, you think about it. Once you get saved, if God didn't want you in the world, being a light in the world, that you would have been just translated there, bang, straight out of your body to be with the Lord. Why would he hold out a moment more once you've given your life to Jesus? Because the world is dead in sin. And it needs the gospel. And the church is the vehicle by which the gospel is proclaimed. However he calls us to do that, whatever your gift and calling is, whatever he's put on you, what grace has he placed on your life, and the primary reason for the church is to win souls for Christ and to teach God's children. Not to make an empire, not to build some great big program, no, not to, you know, build some denomination which, you know, is superior to all others. All that's just works of the flesh. The purpose of the church is to win the lost. And that's God's heart was, is, and always will be. That's the purpose for the church today. All right, we're getting close. We're getting close. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12, almost done. A few more scriptures, if you can hang in there. If I'm going too quick, you can always go back and listen to the podcast at some stage. You know, just talking about Isaiah before, even if you were to study, I think it's Deuteronomy 30, 31, around about verse 6, that, you know, even Moses is preparing Joshua and the Israelites, saying, you're going to have to be strong and courageous. So Moses is telling Joshua, and if you get into the book of Joshua, and then, of course, the Lord says, haven't I already commanded you, be strong and courageous? That's because Moses told him to be strong and courageous. So Moses was speaking through the Lord to Joshua, and the Lord said to Joshua, haven't I already commanded you, be strong and of a good courage, be not dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, if that applied to him under an inferior covenant, an old inferior covenant, would it apply less to us under a better covenant with better promises? Anything that he did for Israel, God will do equally and better for the church. Some struggle with that. Anything he did for Israel under an inferior covenant, God will do that and better for the church because we're under a better covenant with better promises according to Hebrews. We have to believe that. This covenant, the reason why it's better and it's powerful is the first covenant was between God and man. The weak link was man. This covenant is between God Father and God Son. Unbreakable, eternal, strong. And we enter in because we say yes to Yeshua, Jesus, Messiah. That's why this covenant is so powerful. And that's the one that we're running with today. That covenant is allowing us to do all God's called us to do. And then we run our race. We finish and we keep the faith. And then when you're done, check out. Check out. Don't be thinking about, I wonder what disease is going to take me before I die. Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. Well, you know, as I get older, things are going to start breaking down. Yeah, they will because you speak it. Don't talk like that. Talk like a believer who has the authority of God on the inside of him, which you have, and you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Look at Paul, and we're just going to be very brief here for the sake of time. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. So that's the thorn, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That thorn was to try to stop the ministry of the gospel. He wasn't trying to make him sick. He was trying to stop the word being preached. That's the only thing that the devil was interested in because he was preaching the gospel of God's grace. He was road testing the new covenant and the devil hated it. Tried to kill him. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was shipwrecked. He was without food. He had plenty. He was naked and he was clothed. This man endured. My goodness. Study what he endured. But he didn't care about any of it because his strength was in the Lord. Have a look at it. And he said to me, verse 8, for this thing I besought, or I went to the Lord, I begged the Lord, Lord, three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, Not just for the sake of being attacked by the devil. We're doing it because of the anointing. For when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. There it is. His strength is perfected in our weakness. Well, of course it is, because flesh doesn't profit anything. But when we say, Lord, I can't, you can. He says, right, move over, son. I've got the driver's seat. Hang on, it's going to be a ride. And it is. My goodness. Whew. That word weakness and infirmity. It means feebleness of mind or body. It can include sickness and disease, but that's not what he's talking about here. What I find interesting about Paul is when he gave a list of all those things that troubled him, he never once mentioned sickness in his body. Never once. Now, I would have thought that if that was a key factor that he would have raised it, but he talked about everything other than sickness. Everything. Shipwrecked, stoned, beaten with rods, lashed. Over, I think it was 5 times, 40 minus one. Naked, hungry, in perils of his, you know, or his own people, in perils of his enemies. He had a lot of things going on. Apparently, he just must have been an oversight. Because if that thorn in the flesh was sickness, well, it was a big oversight on his part because he never mentioned it. It was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. And that messenger of Satan is still working in the church today. He wants to buffet ministries. He wants to stop ministries doing what they're called to do. He wants to stop the living word of God being proclaimed. That's what he wants to stop. Because if we get a hold of this, if you meditate on these scriptures that we've talked about today, your spiritual strength will increase. We're going to develop our spirit. We're going to be strong, and then we're going to resist steadfast in the faith. All right. Final scripture this morning. Hallelujah. Philippians. How could you not finish with this morning? I'm going to read from verse 11. Paul writing to the church in Philippi, this letter. Philippians chapter 4. And you can read it in context yourself. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Even where and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And that word which is correct in the sense that Christ means anointing or the anointed one. I can do all things through the anointed one or the anointing that's in me. I can do all things through Christ. And that anointing is what strengthens us. Now, we've got that on the inside. 1 John 2 says it. We've got that anointing. We've got that unction of the Holy Spirit. That anointing's in us. We can do all things through Him. And that's been the thrust of this morning. We're able to do it in our ability. That's why Jesus said, I pray that your faith will not fail, Peter. Your faith will not fail. And that's what He's praying for us. He's ever making intercession for the church. Amen? Amen. We can do this. We have the ability. Finally, Jesus said in John 15:5, you don't need to turn there. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Without me, we can do nothing. But we're not without him. That means we can do all things, amen? Amen. We need to develop a strong spirit by meditating the word of God and exercising that word by obeying it. And one of the ways you can do that going forward is to declare those promises aloud. At night before you go to bed, in the morning when you wake up, in the shower, I don't care where, declare it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Stand up, everyone. Stand up. Let's do that right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Repeat after me. It is God that girds me with strength.
It is God that girds me with strength.
The Lord is the strength of my life.
The Lord is the
of whom shall I be afraid?
Of whom shall I be afraid?
The Lord will give strength,
the Lord will give strength
to his people.
God is our refuge
and our strength. I will go in the strength of the Lord.
I will say of the Lord,
you're my refuge
and my strength,
my God,
in you I'll trust.
Strengthen me, Lord, according to your word. And of course, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Let's just give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Lord, this morning, that you give us strength.